Hey, let's start over. Let me go through the introduction again. I'm just kidding. So if you're hearing this online in like 6 months, you missed the whole introduction when we post this sermon online. That sounds better. Sorry, you guys. They're pondering back there. What's going on? I can't figure it out. Gentleness requires strength. In certain countries, they have elephants that they've trained to do heavy labor. You know that they've got an elephant will take a tree down and then carry that tree over and gently lay it down in a pile. Gentleness is really strength used appropriately. It is strength under control. And the problem with gentleness is that on its surface, if we don't understand what gentleness is, it's not something we aspire to, but it should be something we aspire to. And I was thinking about this, you know, like I like to play basketball sometimes, and I'm you know, picturing a conversation between me and another person after a pickup basketball game, you know, and say, hey, that we won, great job, you know, we're, you know, high-fiving or, you know, fist bump or whatever, and like, hey, you did really good talking to my teammate, man, great job during the game. You know what I really liked about how you played? Tell me, what did you really like? I liked how gentle you were. You're just so gentle. Like, that's not something, honestly, that is an example of why it sounds like something we don't really want. Like, that sounds like a strange conversation to have. And thinking, again, as a man here, that doesn't seem like something we aspire to, but gentleness is a feature of strength. And it is strength under control. It's strength used in a loving way. It is strength put into action in a way that doesn't trample over people. It's not weakness, right? Gentleness includes power, but it's this humility in the way that power and strength are used. And there are times when using as much strength as possible is a very good thing, that where we need that just kind of bulldozer mentality, just get after a task. And I think one immediately comes to mind, and that's what we've been doing, you know, for weeks getting this building ready, that is an area where just strength and just get after it-ness, you know, even though that's not a word or a phrase, are important is when it comes to doing a big task. You got something very difficult that's going to require a lot of energy, a lot of strength. That is when we just prize, hey, get it done. Go after it. Use as much power, as much strength as possible to make it happen. You know, manual labor. When you're chopping a tree down, you're not concerned as much about gentleness. But there are many areas of our lives where we need that. We need our strength and any kind of power we may have, any kind of strength we may wield. We need to use it in a gentle and loving way where we don't bulldoze over people. Because if you use that same approach to life that you would use in chopping a tree down, hey, get it done, chop this thing down, with a relationship, for example, just, hey, get it done. Just kind of using your strength and almost bullying, right? That is a hazard. That is a risk that we have when we use that kind of just bulldozing through things approach to every area of our life. That can be very destructive. And we have, all of us have power in different ways. All of us have power in certain areas. You know, and depending on what your role is, you may have the power of a position. You may have people, employees that report to you. And so you have power or strength in a positional sense where you have that. And you need to wield that power responsibly. You need to use that strength in a gentle way. If you're always referring to your role, well, listen to me because I am this, you know, role, you're probably not leading as well or leading in a servant leadership loving kind of way. There's probably a better way to lead. If you're a parent of, you know, children that live at home, you have a power over your children, and there's a gentle way to lead in that situation, and there's a not as gentle way. And we need to use that power responsibly. The reason why we need to be told that gentleness is a character trait that we need, the reason why this fruit of the Spirit is so important for us to wrap our minds around, is because we live in a world where power and strength are used to hurt people constantly. Right? You've heard the phrase, might makes right. You know, that's kind of the world's approach, honestly. Whoever the most powerful person is, they win. You know, whether it comes to the economy, whether it comes to you know, military, whether it all these countries that are suffering under dictatorships, that it is just all about, hey, whoever is the most powerful, that's the one who calls the shots. Might makes right. And we need to, and the church has always kind of had a funny relationship with power too. When Christianity was the underdog, when Christians were suffering persecution and having to escape and, you know, live in the catacombs and you know, live in this underground kind of way, and even in churches where in countries where that's still happening, Christianity has flourished. Christianity's had a special role that it has played, and God has worked in ways, and the church has thrived even in those kind of situations. But if you study church history, which some of us on Wednesday nights are going through this church history class, when the church gets power, funny things happen. When the church has, you know, responsibility for running countries and things like that, it can be very destructive sometimes, that power can corrupt. And we need to be people who are gentle, who practice any leadership, any power, any strength that we may have, who do that with gentleness and love. We lead people, we use our power, we exercise all of that in a loving way. We have a world that desperately needs that, because they don't see very many examples of power being used to love people or to serve people. But gentleness does that when we're living in a gentle way. And when this fruit of the Spirit is flourishing in our lives, that's how it operates. One of the powers that we all have, you all have this power, regardless of your role, regardless of your parent, regardless of how old you are, you have power in your words, in what you say. You have great power, in fact. In Proverbs 18:21, and then James 3 talks about this as well, but Proverbs 18:21, I'll read to you. It says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." There's this idea that you can speak life to people, you can speak destructive words to people, and you have great power in what you say. And there is definitely a gentle way to speak and a not-so-gentle way to speak. We all know this, that you have great power in the way that you communicate to people. There's a story in a John Maxwell book, and he tells a story about a gentle way of speaking to somebody or a not-so-gentle way. Mr. Myrick had to go to Chicago on business and persuaded his brother to take care of his cat during his absence. Mr. Myrick's brother was not a cat lover, but he agreed to do it as a favor. When Mr. Myrick returned from his trip, he called his brother to check on his cat. The brother reported in a matter-of-fact tone, "Your cat died," and he hung up. For days, Myrick was inconsolable. Then his sadness turned to anger at his brother for being so brutally honest and insensitive. He phoned his brother. "It was needlessly cruel and sadistic of you to tell me so bluntly that my poor cat had passed away." "What did you expect me to do?" demanded the brother. Well, you could have broken the news gently," grumbled Myrick. "First, you could have said that the cat was playing on the roof. Later, you could have called to say he fell off. The next morning, you could have reported that he had broken his leg. And then when I came to pick him up, you could have told me he passed away during the night. Well, it's just not your style to be civilized. Now tell me, how's Mom?" After a long pause, a meek voice on the other end replied, "She's playing on the roof." Yeah. There's a gentle way to speak, and there's a not-so-gentle way to speak. Maybe we need to, though. Your words have power. And may we be people that practice that fruit of the Spirit of gentleness in our words and the way we communicate to people. You know, the ultimate example of gentleness, when you think about gentleness in action and good examples of what that looks like, if you think about God the Father, right? We talk about wielding power in a loving way. We have an all-powerful God. All-powerful God created everything, can will things into existence, created the universe with words, like spoke things into existence. All-powerful. But he wields that power in a loving way. Like, he's created love and created beauty. And with his power, you know, reaches out to us and comes through, you know, time and space to connect with us. Sends Jesus Christ, the ultimate example of gentleness and humility. And Jesus, you know, when we think about this dynamic between, is gentleness weakness? Does that even seem like an appealing trait to have? And we said, no, we need to reframe the idea of what gentleness is. Gentleness is power used in a loving way, power under control. It's power used for the good of other people. It's humbling ourselves and our own priorities to love people with any kind of strength, any kind of power we may have. That's what gentleness is. Was Jesus weak? No way. Like, Jesus was gentle. And we'll read in a moment in Matthew 11, and if you have your Bible or electronic device, you can go ahead and turn there. Matthew 11 will be at verse 28 in a moment. Jesus was not weak. Let's think about Jesus and how he approached people. Jesus was very gentle. You know, Jesus approached the Pharisees differently than he did, like, the woman at the well, for example. You know, for the Pharisees, he had harsh words. He had a stern warning to them and rebuking them for the way that they spiritually were the leaders of Israel and the way they were leading them down the wrong path. But for the woman at the well, he's so gentle with her. And he did tell her, hey, leave your sin behind. Go and sin no more. But he also offered this incredible life to her and had these words of peace to offer her and spoke to her in a way that nobody ever had. And at the same time said, I know who you are. I know what you've done. I know what your struggles have been. But you're absolutely loved and invited to follow me all at the same time. And then think about the ultimate example, right? That Jesus approached people in a gentle way, but then Jesus was not weak, right? It wasn't an example of his weakness and him being afraid of people and how they might respond, and that's why he was gentle with them. He faced the ultimate example of just, you know, the scariest situation that anyone had ever faced before, which was he willingly walked into the weeks leading up to his death and knew where that was going and would even try to communicate that to his disciples, like, I'm going to Jerusalem, I am going to die, and then I will be resurrected, and he's going to have the wrath of God poured out on him. And if we think there was any weakness involved in that, we do not understand the scale of what Jesus faced on our behalf. There was this moment where Jesus stood up and spoke to people in Matthew chapter 11. I don't know if he was standing when he said it, but he said this in Matthew chapter 11. He said in verse 28 through 30, these words are beautiful. He says this, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, I am gentle and lowly in heart. I'm going to treat you right. I'm going to treat you in a loving way. You're going to find rest, but not just like a nap like a lot of the people that have been working on the building need. Something even deeper than that, a deeper kind of rest, which is soul rest. This deep sense where you don't have to strive anymore. He says, all you who labor and are heavy laden, he's like, picture all these people with great burdens on their shoulders, like a backpack that just is making them like fall backwards, right? And he's using the image of an ox pulling a cart, this idea of a yoke and stuff. But, you know, I think a more common image for us is that kid that is walking to school with that backpack that's just way overloaded, you know. It's like half their size and full of bags, and they're walking. And just this idea of being heavy laden, and it starts out, they think they can handle that backpack. Eventually, you get to a point where you're just, like, just barely trudging, you know. And it's so, some of us are like that spiritually. Many people, and I'd say, you know, the majority of people in this world, they're spiritually burdened, they're spiritually struggling with sin or with this kind of religious approach to God where they have to somehow earn God's favor and somehow earn his grace when it's there offered as a free gift. And Jesus says, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, all of you weary people, come to me. Just come to me. He says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Like this idea of the yoke is this, you say, learn from my way of life, learn from my way of teaching, follow me and walk with me, like walk with Jesus and follow him. Take the yoke upon you and learn from him. Like become a student of Jesus Christ because he is gentle, right? He is lowly in heart. And he says, and when you come to him, you don't have to keep your guard up when you come to Jesus. You know, so many of you know what it's like to go through life with your guard just up constantly. You've been hurt, you've gone through things, and you know that for you, you feel like you need to keep that guard up or else you're going to get hurt again, right? And so you come into any relationship, friendships like that, and we can come to Jesus. We can come to Christ, let our guard down, find rest for our souls. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we apply any strength that we have properly, we apply that strength, or any strength that we have, we apply it properly and lovingly towards people. Because strength is a good thing, right? Strength can accomplish good things, but we don't use it to bulldoze over people. We don't use it to run over people. And the ultimate example of that, Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is our example of gentleness. Listen, no one wants to be on the losing end of someone not using their power or strength in a loving way. You've been there before, where you were in a situation where someone got their way simply because they had more power, simply because they had more authority than you. You were, you know, taken advantage of or let go for something, whatever it may be. You've been put in situations before in your life where people have used power in a way that just hurt and just ran over people. Any power that we may have, whether that's as a parent, whether that's as an employer, whether that's even just with our words, right? Just with our words. May we use that power, the power that we have, in a loving way. May we do that. Would you pray with me? Lord, once again, it is good for us to be in this place. And I mean that in the way that just physically in this place, but also just in your presence. That we get to be here and be gathered together in a way that's unique. When the body of Christ is gathered together like this, we get to be with you in a powerful way. And so, Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, just help us to take these lessons with us, Lord, and to take them and live out our lives and to exercise any power, any strength we may have in a loving way, because that's what gentleness is, Lord. And we thank you for the ultimate example of Jesus and the way that he treated people. And that, Lord, may we follow him. May each and every one of us in this room, Lord, if we haven't any in this room made that decision to follow Christ, I pray that they would today even put their faith in you and begin following you. Lord, you have proven over and over again that you are trustworthy. We don't need to have our guards up when it comes to you. You are gentle. You will take care of us. You're going to treat us in a loving way. And Lord, you are the ultimate source of goodness and gentleness for us. And so, Lord, we love you and we are so grateful to gather together like this and to worship you. And we thank you for this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.